Welcome to Microsoft Outlook Basics and Beyond. I'm Jason Bursak, a productivity trainer for IT Showcase at Microsoft. Today I'm going to demonstrate how you can make the most of Outlook. I'll show you best practices for managing your email and calendar efficiently, including switching views in calendar and email, scheduling meetings in conference rooms, and categorizing your appointments with colors. You'll learn how to assign permissions to a delegate and share your calendar with others. Even Outlook veterans may learn a thing or two in this deep dive session. Today we'll cover Outlook basics, calendar advanced options, delegate access, and a demo. So starting with Outlook basics, I want to first show you a few inbox views. Someone who hasn't used Outlook before may look at this screen and think, well, these are probably four different programs, and that simply isn't the case. There are so many ways for you to customize your Outlook inbox that it really does look like four different programs, even though it's not. But in the top left, I've got a lengthy list of emails with no reading pane. I have reading panes in the top right and the bottom left in different places. And then in the lower right, I have a lot of text preview for all of my emails. So you can really work depending on how you want to in your inbox. Another great feature in the inbox is the Smart Lookup feature. And what this allows you to do is while you're typing an email, you'll be able to type a word or a phrase and decide that maybe you want some more information about that word or phrase. So you can highlight it and then select it and then do research right within Outlook. For example, right here, I've applied highlighting to the phrase Hubble Space Telescope, and that allows me to then look up information about the telescope. We can use contact cards here. This is a way to look up information about people in the way that Outlook manages contacts. As you can see, you have this person's name. You see he is busy right now, but he is free at 11. You see what he does. You have contact information like his email address, his work phone number, and a variety of other ways of getting a hold of this person. You can also schedule a meeting right here on the contact card. All right, let's get into calendar basics. So here's just basics on creating a calendar invitation. If you go to the calendar view, you'll see an option to create a new appointment. And when you click on that new appointment, you'll be able to add things like the title of the meeting, the location, and details about the meeting. You can select people to invite to the meeting as attendees, and also you'll be able to turn the meeting into a Skype meeting using the Skype for Business add-on. By default, a 15-minute reminder is set for your meeting and any participants in that meeting. However, you can change it in a variety of different ways. You can add a recurrence to a meeting. What this means is that this meeting will repeat. Maybe you want to have a meeting every Wednesday at 1 p.m. or maybe you want to have a meeting once a month at 1 p.m. on the first Wednesday. This is something you can do in Outlook. You can choose when and how often you'd like a meeting to recur. You have options for daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly. And if you do want to set a monthly meeting, be careful to set it for a day that doesn't occur on a weekend, as you know, a lot of people probably don't want to come into work on Saturdays. So if you want to, also, you have the flexibility to change just one occurrence of an Outlook recurring meeting. So let's say you have that meeting that occurs every Wednesday at 1 o'clock, but you need to change one of those meetings because maybe the most important attendee is on vacation. So you can simply change that one recurrence to 1 o'clock on Tuesday without changing all of the rest of the meetings. The weather is a feature that is added into Outlook. You'll have this in the calendar view. This is great if you're going to schedule a business trip or even just you're about to leave work and you want to know what the weather is outside. 3 days of weather are available in the calendar view. This is the group scheduling view. It allows you to view multiple calendars at the same time. So you can open up shared calendars from Outlook and look at you and all the calendars from the people on your team if you want to, for example. And then you find white space, which is a increasingly rare commodity depending on how many people you've added to the overlay, but then you look for white space, and that's the time that everyone is free, and you'll be able to schedule a meeting then. You can search a global address list to find someone who hasn't yet manually shared their calendar with you, or look for a conference room. Here's a screenshot of the overlay calendar view, and you'll see that there is a little bit of white space there. I've got three calendars on this screen here, the regular one and a couple other people, and we can see that there is some white space, so that is time that we could schedule a meeting with all three of those people. If you'd like to change the view, you can click on the arrows on the calendars to move them off and change them into another view. Here's some tips for viewing your calendar in Outlook. One of the things that you can do that a lot of people don't know about is view an unusual number of days in your calendar. A lot of people know how to view the work week or the calendar week or just one day, but if you want to, you could simply view 3 days at a time. In fact, any number between 1 and 10 days you can look at in your Outlook calendar. You do this by holding down the Alt key and a number corresponding to the number of days that you want to look at. You can also select dates as a group. With this, you'll use the Shift key. You select the beginning day, hold down the Shift key, and select the end day. You can also look at non-related dates. What you'll do here is you'll hold down your Control key, and you'll click whatever days you want to look at. So if you wanted to create a view where you were looking at the 1st, the 15th, and the 19th of a given month, you would be able to do that using your Control key. You can have more than one time zone in Outlook. In fact, you can have two. So generally, you have one time zone in Outlook. But if you're doing what I'm doing and traveling on business and you are now in a different time zone than you're used to being in, but maybe you need to have some meetings with people still back in the same time zone, or perhaps you're a salesperson and you live in one time zone and you sell to another time zone, it's really handy then to have both of those time zones located in your Outlook. And what you'll do here is you'll go to the time in the navigation pane and you'll select Change Time Zone. And there's a checkbox there. And you will check Show a Second Time Zone. Once you've done that, you'll be able to label them if you want to and have them both displayed in your Outlook calendar. You can add holidays to your Outlook calendar. This is great if there are some holidays that you tend to forget about and you end up scheduling events over them and then, of course, no one shows up. Or maybe you're working with another country and you're not terribly familiar with the holidays of that country. So you want to have holidays in Outlook. The way you can do this is in your calendar options. You'll go to the File and then Options and Calendar, and in Calendar Options you'll have the opportunity to add holidays by country to your Outlook calendar. So do this for countries that you work with and it will help you make sure that you don't schedule events on holidays. Tracking meetings is a great function, especially if you've invited a lot of people to a meeting. Let's say you invite 10 people to a meeting and one of them declines, three of them click tentative, one person doesn't respond, and the rest of them accept. Maybe you want a convenient way to see who's who there. And that is available in the tracking feature. So if you're the organizer of the meeting, you can go to the tracking feature and view the tracking status. It will show you a list of the people that you invited and what sort of response they gave you. You also have the convenient option to copy the status to a clipboard if you need to drop it into Excel, for example, and then send that spreadsheet to maybe your manager to let them know who's coming to the meeting. A lot of people know that you can send meeting requests in Outlook, but a lot of people don't know that you can reply to meeting requests with email, and you can also reply to email with a meeting request. These options are available in the drop-down menu, so if someone sends you an important email and your reaction to that is, we should talk about this, you can simply reply to that email with a meeting request. Likewise, you can reply to a meeting request with an email, maybe requesting further information before you accept or decline. The peeking function in Outlook is available. What you do is you hover your mouse over a certain area of Outlook and you're granted further information about what you're hovering over. For example, maybe you're in your mail view and you want to take a quick glimpse of your calendar. Hover the arrow, as you can see, over the calendar and you'll be shown a view. Another great way to use this function, I think, is if you're in your calendar view and you hover over a meeting to see further information about that meeting. That way you don't actually have to open up the meeting invitation to get a little bit more information about the meeting. We'll move on now to calendar advanced options. With calendars, you can change sharing permissions. You can share your calendar with other people, and other people can share their calendar with you. And you have options as far as what information you share with people. Do you want to let them know just the titles of the meetings that you're attending? Maybe you want to let them know just your free busy time. Now, in fact, the default sharing for your organization may well be that everyone can see everyone else's free busy time. That's a popular way to set it up. And then all you have to do is if you want to share more information, you go ahead and share your calendar. In some cases, you may want to share all of the details of your calendar with someone else. Now, it may be occurring to you right now to think that, well, maybe I want to share all the details of my calendar with someone, but what if I have something private? Maybe I have a doctor appointment. And that's perfectly understandable, and we have a feature that allows you to right-click on a meeting and select it as private. That way, even if you've shared all the details of your calendar with someone, that meeting will still show up as private, and they won't be able to see what it is. As you can see here, there's a variety of levels of sharing available, and you can select what capability you want other people to have. Let's say you don't want to share your calendar, but you do want to let someone know some details about your calendar over a certain period of time. Maybe you want to let someone know over the course of the next week everything on your calendar, but you don't want to share it with them. Well, that's fine. You can use the email calendar feature, where you're going to go to the Home tab, select Email Calendar. At that point, you'll choose your date range, and then you'll choose your level of detail that you want to send. Now, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense in an organization where everyone can see each other's free busy status to email someone your free busy status. So you probably don't want to choose availability, but you can share limited details and full details of your calendar to someone. Now, if you don't have those organizational views, it may be beneficial to share just availability as well. You can click on the Share Calendar button to send your calendar to someone else, and then you can open that calendar in the calendar view. Or if someone has shared their calendar with you, you can also open that calendar from the calendar view. And you can use the overlays that we discussed earlier to make it easier to find meeting time with those people. What if you'd like to open up a SharePoint calendar in Outlook? This makes a lot of sense because Outlook is a very powerful calendar manipulation tool. This is a great idea. In the SharePoint interface, you'll see a button in the calendar area called Connect to Outlook. You'll push that button and select Yes. And then your calendar from the SharePoint site will be downloaded to Outlook, and you'll be able to interface with it just as if it were another Outlook calendar. As a tip, you can drag items between your SharePoint and Outlook calendars, and you can also copy and paste to duplicate. This is one of the advantages to opening up that SharePoint calendar in Outlook. The resource booking tool is available to make it easier to find a conference room for your meetings. You can use the Room Finder to book a room, and it will show you a room list from a building you select. As you can see here, we've selected a building, and it's showing us the available conference rooms during the period of time that we've selected. It's very, very easy to find a room this way. You can also use the scheduling assistant to see availability of rooms. And you simply select a room from that drop-down menu and book the conference room that way. Next up, we'll talk about categories. Categories are a way of organizing calendar items and emails in Outlook. I think organizing calendar items by color is a really useful way to manage your calendar. It allows you to, at a glance, look at your meetings, and if you've categorized them correctly, see information about those meetings simply based on the color. Like, for example, I have some of my training sessions red, and then I have high priority meetings that I need to attend that are not training sessions, orange, and I have private events as green. And you can set up your calendar however you want, but what this does is it allows you to simply take a glance and say, oh, I've got this kind of meeting coming up, and it allows you to be in the right state of preparation for it. You can set up, if you want to, appointment conditional formatting. If you do use colors in the conditional formatting sense, what that involves is opening up the advanced views setting in your calendar, selecting conditional formatting, and then you can create rules. So, for example, you may set a rule to say that any meeting sent by your manager is automatically orange. Then you look at it and you say, oh, that's orange, that's a meeting with my manager, I've got to go to that. So that's something that you can set up, and some people find this beneficial and other people simply don't use it. Let's move on now to our next topic, which is delegate access. So what is delegate access? Delegate access allows you to manage, for example, another person's calendar. You can also use delegate access to manage other aspects of their Outlook, such as their inbox. In order to get delegate access, you must be given permission by the person whose inbox or calendar you'll be managing. On the File tab, you'll go to Account Settings, and then under Delegate Access, you'll go to Add, and under the name of the delegate, you'll add them, and you'll click OK. And you'll choose that person's rights at that point. You'll choose, you know, what part of your Outlook do you want them to have access to, and also what can they do with that access. Delegate access does have to go back to the server level, so it will perhaps take a little bit of time to kick in. You also should always contact a person if you're going to make them a delegate so that they understand what's going on. So now we're going to do an Outlook demo, and I will start with views of your Outlook inbox. There's a lot of different ways you can look at your Outlook inbox to suit your style of work. For example, right now I have, as you can see here, this menu on the side here. I have my email right here with no reading pane. I have my calendar over here, and I have my task lists. Now this is just one way you can do it. One thing you could turn on or off is the conversation view feature. Let me just turn that on here for you. If I show this as conversations, and then I'll select this folder to apply that change. Now you'll see that since a good chunk of those emails apply to a conversation, they're all together here. And I can use the caret to take a look at that as a conversation. Now if I uncheck this, I can return the view to the showing the emails in the order they are presented, as opposed to ordered by conversation. As you can see, of course, emails that I haven't read yet are blue, whereas emails that I have read are not blue. Now let's manipulate the view a little bit more. Over here we have access to something called the to-do bar, and right now I have my calendar and my tasks on the to-do bar. Maybe I want to get rid of that. So let's go ahead and do that. And now what I've done is given myself a little bit more space as far as my inbox is concerned. Maybe I want to get even more space and I want to get rid of this menu bar here. Now you don't lose the functionality. I can go over here and access it, and I can click this. And then if I want to keep it, if I move away and click away, it goes back. But if I want to keep it, I simply click this pin like that. Next up, I want to show different reading panes. So you have options to put the reading pane on the right, the reading pane on the bottom, or turn it off. Let's see what it looks like on the right. All right, so now I have that email there in the pane. If I put it on the bottom, so just depending on your style of work, maybe you want no reading pane at all, you can shut it off. There you go. Okay. Maybe you want your to-do bar back. I know I typically like to have my calendar and tasks on the side, so let's just bring it back. There's my calendar, and there's my tasks, okay? So I can really do quite a bit of manipulation from an inbox point of view. Another cool feature regarding the inbox that I want to show you is the insight feature. I can do some research right here in Outlook, so I'm going to create a new email. And we'll just call this a test email. I'm presuming I'm going to send this to someone. And in the midst of typing this email, I decide I want to impress this person with everything I know about the International Space Station. Okay, so I'm going to go highlight this, and I'm going to right-click, and I go down here to Smart Lookup. And this just opens up a panel right here, and it does some web research on the International Space Station. I can click this, and this will open up the, and it looks like it went to Wikipedia here. And here's some more web-based study on the International Space Station. There's also a dictionary. If for some bizarre reason I forgot the definition of the word night, for example, I could Smart Lookup, and I could define right here. Okay? So that is a really cool feature. You can do research right within an Outlook email. I'll just go ahead and close this since I don't really feel the need to impress anyone with my knowledge of the International Space Station right now. And down here, as you can see, I have access to my inbox, and this is actually my calendar. You can see the peaking functionality occurring right here where I have access to the calendar despite not being in the calendar view. Right here I can look at some contacts, and right here I can look at my tasks. Now I keep my tasks over here, so I don't really need to use this. But if I didn't do that, this would be a very handy feature. Now I want to show you quick how you can manipulate this bar. If I click these ellipses and I go to Navigation Options, I'm using what's called right now Compact Navigation. If I uncheck that, that changes my bar so that I actually see mail, calendar, people, and tasks as words. And there's also other options that I can turn on here. Like maybe I want 7 or 6. Let's go 7. Now I can access my notes, folders, and shortcuts right here too. I personally prefer the compact, so I'm going to go back to that. And there we have it, okay? So now let's move into the calendar, and I'll show you a few things in regard to the calendar. So I've got some shared calendars open here. I'm going to close these for the time being. And let's say I want to have a meeting at 8:30 on Friday with Nicole and Mark. So I'm going to go to my scheduling assistant right here. And this actually shows me my information. And if I go back to, and it'll show me my attendees right here too when I do that. But I'll go back to the appointment real quick. And I go to invite attendees. I'm going to invite my attendees. Okay, and I'll just say test meeting. And then at this point, who knows where the location is. Let's just call it TBD. Now, let me return now to that scheduling assistant that I showed you. And you'll see that I can see Mark and Nicole here. And then I'll see some information about them. And white space means that I could go ahead and schedule that meeting. They might even accept it. Okay, so I'll just go ahead and do that. And if, by the way, if I wanted to make this a Skype meeting, all I would have to do is click here. That's how you schedule a meeting, okay? Now, I'm going to open it up and show you that I can do meeting tracking. Now, I haven't given Mark and Nicole very much opportunity here to respond to this invitation, but let me just show you what this looks like. If I go into tracking, I can see that I'm the meeting organizer, and I can see Mark and Nicole are required attendees. And right here, no one has responded yet. Of course, that's because I sent it 30 seconds ago. But if Mark had accepted or declined, I would see that here. Likewise with Nicole right here. And for example, Nicole has just accepted the meeting. Let's just drop out of here and go back in. And there you go. You can see Nicole has accepted it. And if I want to, I can copy this to a clipboard, and then I could drop this information into Excel. Now, with a meeting with only 3 people, you might not want to do that. As you can see here, Mark has tentatively accepted the meeting. And now here we go. And you know, if I'd sent this to 20 people, I may want to track it in a spreadsheet. So I'll be able to do that by copying the status with a clipboard and dropping it into Excel. So that's a neat tracking feature there for meetings. So next up, I want to show you shared calendars. So to introduce that concept here, I've got one shared calendar here, and I'm just going to open up Nicole's calendar. Here we go. And as you can see, Nicole has shared her free and busy time with me. So you see that she's very busy, but she does have some time open on Thursday here. So if I wanted to schedule a meeting with Nicole, that would probably be a great time to do it. Now you see a difference between my calendar and Nicole's calendar. I actually have, you know, what I'm doing, whereas here she's just told me that she's busy. And that's the degree of sharing that you can do. Let's study that a little bit more closely here. If I go to my home view, and then I want to go open up a shared calendar, and I actually have this shared down here, but if you wanted to, you can go to your address, your room list, or your address book. But I've got handy, I've got this Stockroom Studio calendar here. So let me go ahead and open that too. And you'll see that the Stockroom Studio has actually shared full details with me. I know exactly what's going on here. And if one of your coworkers shares full details, you'll be able to see what's going on in their calendar as well. They have the option to simply show you the titles of their meetings and a little bit of information, or they can actually show you everything if they want to. And remember, if you want to mark an event private, let me just do that quick for you. I'm going to pretend like I have a doctor appointment right here at 2:30 on Friday. I'll just save and close that. Maybe I want to share my calendar with someone, and I'll show you how to do that in just a second. But I simply right-click and select private. This little lock tells you that even if you shared your calendar, that information will not be present. Okay? So that's kind of a neat thing to know about. So let's open up those shared calendars one more time. And I'll show you a couple different views you can take a look at. Let's say I wanted to sent a meeting request to Nicole, and the meeting room is in the Stockroom studio. So I'm going to do a handy overlay view. So I'm going to look at Nicole's calendar and then the Stockroom studio's calendar. And say, well, gosh, Thursday looks like a great time. There's this big chunk of free time where there's space on my calendar, space on Nicole's, and space on the Stockroom studio. Maybe at that point, then, I decide I want to invite Mark to the meeting, too. So let me go back here to my Home tab, and I'll open this calendar. And I'm going to open it from the address book, because Mark is in the address book. Here he is. And we're adding him in a new view here. And these can take a little bit to populate. There he is. OK, so I can see he's free busy now. And if he had shared me his full details, I would see those as well. But I can add him to the overlay. Now, all of a sudden, that Thursday time frame isn't looking so good because Mark is busy. So it becomes, of course, a lot more difficult the more people you're trying to invite. It doesn't necessarily present itself as obvious as far as when you can do your meetings. But this is a great way to get sort of an idea of everyone's time here. So I'm just going to close that and close this. And the next thing I'll show you is, what if I want to share my calendar with someone else? So I'm going to go to my home area here. There's a couple different ways I can do this, OK? I can go to my Share Calendar button. And maybe I want to share my calendar with Nicole. OK? And then I can also request permission to view hers. Now, if I check that, the email that gets sent to Nicole will say, hey, Jason also wants to look at your calendar. Now, it's important to keep in mind that she can say no to that. This is not a quid pro quo request. If I send this, she can accept my calendar and not show me her calendar. So don't view this as any kind of requirement. And then I can choose here my details. So limited details are available or full details. And then I would go ahead and click send. Okay, so that's how I share my calendar. I can also email my calendar. If I go here, what I get the option to do is choose a date range. So maybe I want to send just tomorrow or maybe the next 7 days. Let's go to the next 7 days. It's in your whole calendar too. But at that point, you probably just want to share it. And then do you want to just show time within your working hours? Yes, no. You can set your working hours in your calendar options. I'll actually show you how to do that in a little bit here. But what availability do I want to send? Now, if you work in an organization where everyone can see each other's availability, this is redundant. There's no point in emailing your calendar if you're only sending your availability. But you may want to email someone limited details or full details of your calendar if it's you want to present them with the details for maybe just a week, but you don't want to share your whole calendar with them, OK? So that is calendar sharing. You can also have groups of shared calendars. Like, see how down here I have my shared calendars? Maybe I want to make a new group. If I go under calendar groups, I go create new calendar group. And we'll just go test group. And in my test group, I'm going to put Mark's calendar and Nicole's calendar. And there we go. Now I've got this test group. And then I can actually view the test group all at once. I'll just get rid of this since I'm not going to use it. You want to get rid of a group, simply right-click, delete group. OK, next up, we are going to move to calendar options. So we'll do that under File, Options right here. I'm going to go down to Calendar. Right here is where you can set your work hours. I've set my work hours to 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. You know, maybe you work 7 to 4. So this is how you would change it. Okay, and this just lets people know, you know, are you working or not during that business time frame? Oh yeah, I want to work 8 a.m. to 5 a.m. That doesn't sound fun. Okay, and the first day of the week, this is just for the view. Is it Sunday? First day of the year starts January 1st. Okay, great. Your default reminders are for 15 minutes. This works great for most meetings, honestly. But You know, maybe you want your set, your default reminder to 5 minutes. That's up to you. You can allow attendees to propose times for new meetings here. Use this response for proposing new meeting times. So if you have this and you propose a new meeting time, you will respond as tentative. Here's where I can add holidays. And you select a country, and as you can see, I've added the United States holidays to my calendar. And I've already done that, so let me just show you what it looks like quick here. As you can see, Columbus Day has been added to my calendar on October 9th, as well as the other suite of US holidays. So I'll return now to calendar options. And we'll scroll down just a bit here. You can change your permissions for viewing free busy options. If I go to free busy, the default for our organization is free busy time. But if I wanted to, I could say, hey, everyone in the org can see my full details. Not too many people select that option, but it's there for you. You could also let other people see just some limited details for your meeting. Just to highlight a few other options, you can change your default calendar color right here. You do have the option to use this calendar on all calendars. I don't necessarily recommend checking that, though. I think having the color contrast on those calendar views is very nice. Here's where you have time zones. You can change your time zone right here. I'm in the Pacific time zone right now, so I have it set at Pacific. Usually, I'm in Central time, and I have it set at Central. But maybe I want to do this. I'm going to change my time zone back to Central time. And I'm going to show a second time zone. And my second time zone will be Pacific. And I'll just call these maybe just CT and PT. Let me just close to show you what that looks like. Here we go. As you can see, I have my two time zones right here, OK? And I want to switch it back. Just go once again back into Options, Calendar. And I scroll down back to where that was. And I just want Central time, okay? Or maybe I just want Pacific time. I can change that too. There we go. All right, and right here you can turn on or off your weather, and you can select whether you want the temperature in Celsius or Fahrenheit. And also, you can auto accept or decline meeting requests. That isn't something I do. I like to decide whether or not I accept or decline a meeting request on a meeting-by-meeting basis. I think that's how most people operate. But if you want to auto-accept or decline, you can turn that feature on right there. All right, so those are some highlights from your calendar options. Let me just show you categories quick here. As you can see, on my calendar, I have some meetings that are in red. And these are meetings where I am presenting, and they're important, and I need to be there. And the red lets me know that. It also lets me know I need to be there a few minutes early to set up. Now, let's say this is an important meeting that I need to go to, but I just need to show up right when it starts instead of being there early to set up. And I color that one orange. And then my doctor appointment, I categorize that as green. So as you can see, at a glance, I can kind of tell what a meeting is about. So this is just a reserved block of time. I keep that blue. Got my private, my important, and my training sessions where I need to be there. So that is how these categories work. And if you go here and right-click and go to your view settings, you can access this thing called conditional formatting. And what I might want to do is something like maybe add a rule. And I'm going to make a condition. Well, I've already got this on. Let me just delete these rules here. And I'll add one rule, and I'm going to call this my green rule. And I'm going to make the color. Here, I've already got a green category. Let's call this purple. We'll call it the purple rule. And my condition is that anything organized by Mark, I guess I've got to go in here. And Nicole, anything they send me now is going to be purple. And you can add, you know, it has to have a certain subject field or certain attendees. You can add more criteria too, but this is a good enough criteria for now just to show you how this works. And if they want to send me any kind of meeting to my calendar, it's automatically now going to show up as purple. So that's kind of cool. And right now, of course, you know, they sent these to me, so those turned purple. And anything they send me in the future will turn purple as well. All right, we're going to move on now to delegate access. So that is found here in the File menu. You go to Account Settings, and in Account Settings, Access, Delegate Access. And I'll click that. And I don't have any delegates right now, so I'm going to go ahead and add. And I'm not actually going to go through this process because I don't want to make someone a delegate of my calendar, but I'm just going to look up Mark here in the address book. And then at this point, I choose what he has delegate access to. So I just got promoted, and I'm Mark's boss. And I can give him access to my calendar so that he can administrate that for me here. So I can go to maybe just review, or maybe you can author, or maybe you can edit. And then right here, if I want him to have access to my tasks. Right here, if I want him to have access to my inbox. And likewise with contacts and notes. And I can even give the delegate access to my private items if I want to. And then I can also automatically send a message to the delegate summarizing these permissions. And obviously, if you make someone a delegate, you should let them know. So whether you want to do that with an automatic message or a private meeting, that's, of course, up to you. So I'm going to go ahead and just cancel out of this. And that is the demo for Outlook Basics and Beyond. We're at the end of today's demonstration. I hope this training has been valuable to you. You can visit microsoft.com/itshowcase/productivity to view additional live webinars and productivity training on Microsoft products and services. Thank you for joining me.